Attention, students. As you know, it's a new school year, and dressing smart is of the utmost importance. So will all students please report to Old Navy immediately in order to get your wardrobe on flick, or flack, or whatever you kids are saying these days. Class is dismissed.
Run to Old Navy tomorrow for your back-to-school shopping. All kids' stuff is on sale up to 60% off, with jeans from $8 and tees from $4. That's right, all kids' stuff is up to 60% off, even uniforms. Valid 7/24 through 8/12. Select styles only. Excludes gift cards and clearance.
Blog Talk Radio.
Become your masterpiece. Let go, don't look back. It just sparks your gasoline. You never fit that mold, and it's not your scene. Shine on, shine on, pretty little queen. You're like a bright red rose, like heaven is raspy. If it's man made, let go, don't look back. It just sparks your gasoline. You never fit that mold, and it's not your scene. Shine on, shine on, pretty little queen. You're like a bright red rose, like heaven is raspy.
Antika Lisham is a visibility coach and CEO of YourOwnUniversity.org, a business for women who are done denying themselves and ready to say yes to their uniqueness, to see themselves and allow themselves to be seen. She coaches entrepreneurs, visionaries, and rebels to craft their unique message and create profitable businesses that are seen by a global audience. Start living your life on purpose today with her free gift, 22 Days and Even More Ways to Step into Your Purpose Today series at YourOwnUniversity.org. Now let's get this show rolling. Here's your host, Antika.
Hello, hello, and welcome to this Monday edition of Shine. This is Antika, and it is so wonderful to be here. Today we're going to be talking about love and shining a light on love. My guest today has a wonderful book out and has such a heart to really bring relationships back together. And his story and how he started studying and looking at this topic we call love is quite amazing too. So I'm really, really excited for today's show. I have a few little announcements. One, next week you're going to have to listen to a replay because I am going to be out and about. And things are shifting and moving here yet again in my own life. So I am really excited to step into the next element of me shining. And I hope that you will continue to join me and shine in your own right. If you have anybody that you would like to nominate to come on and shine here to share their story, how they've stepped into their authenticity, how they've owned their own life, or how you have owned your own life and your life experiences, and you are letting the whole world see and utilize and love and prosper from your own experiences, then I would love, love, love to hear from you, to hear from them, and to highlight them here on Shine Radio as we work into the rest of this amazing year. So you can reach me at info@antiqualibby.com. That's info@antiqualibby.com. And I am so excited to just continue this opportunity each and every Monday to shine my light and, you know, to shine with the light of the world through amazing authors and speakers and coaches like my guest today. So my guest today, his name is Barry, and he is a number one best-selling author. He's a professional speaker. He's an expert relationship coach and guide. His passion is inspiring people to live authentic lives. So one reason why he's here on Shine. In particular, he is dedicated to serving women. He empowers successful single women to embrace and own their feminine power, to heal their hearts, to learn to love again, and to attract their true equal in inspired, loving relationship. He has an amazing book, which we're going to talk about this next hour. And we're just going to kick it off with Barry. Just thank you so much for showing up, for shining your light. And I can't wait to hear and share your amazing story about your own dysfunctional relationships, your failed romances, the heartbreak that you endured, and everything that has led you to really find the solution and open your heart and create a life that you really desire and love. You know? So, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah. So I've been reading your book and through your tips, and it's such a easy read. It really is a phenomenal book. I can totally tell why it's a number one bestseller. But
thank you.
What led you to write it in the first place? I know you got to share your story with me, but it's just so inspiring. I'd love for everybody to hear.
Sure. I'm still having difficulty believing I'm an author, so it's always weird to sort of say I published a book. And that's the whole thing, is I didn't sit down intentionally to write the book. It was something that came through, in some ways sideways, because it came through from a deeper place that wasn't my conscious intention. I've been studying human development, relationships, people, and the whole polarity stuff for basically now almost 30 years. And in the last several years, has thoroughly deepened my understanding of how masculine and feminine energy works, and really owning my own masculinity, which is something that was something I was unaware of and didn't know about. And part of that is to really own my place on the planet and to be of service and to be in a purpose that drives my heart, my work, everything in the world. Mm-hmm. And that led me to the book, because the book, frankly, came from, to be blunt, a friend of mine who is a marketing expert said I should post on social media what I believe about relationships, what I've studied and learned, and what I know to be true, to share that with everybody. So I was posting on social media these principles, tips, keys, whatever you want to call them, And they were accumulating. And I decided to save them and keep them as a document I would use some point in my future in a workshop or something. Never thought they'd become the book. But what happened was, as I sat with this list over about 2 weeks, that little quiet, still voice inside said, write the book. And I, for about a week and a half, argued with that voice, thinking I had control, which is the biggest joke of all. And so at the end of this time, I sort of turned inwardly to that voice and said, okay, smart guy sort of thing, if you want to write this book, how would I do it? And it just the picture showed up clearly that I'd already written every chapter heading, and all I need to do was explain them. And I'd already had the structure built. I knew how to do a book physically because I'd helped a friend of mine do one. So I really had nothing in the way except to do it. And so that's what happened. So that's what I did. I just sat down and basically fleshed the book out, and I had the first draft in 6 weeks. And then all my stuff came up. So it took me 2 years to finish the book.
Yeah. And isn't it true? Isn't it true? It's such a gift that all of our stuff comes up. I remember, when was it? A year ago? 2 years ago? Oh, it must have been a year ago, but early in the summertime, all of my stuff started coming up around being a failure. Oh, my goodness. I mean, I was in tears. I'm a failure at this. I'm a failure at that. All of my failures were coming up. All of them. All of them. All of them. It was so miserable. And then, boom, I was asked to write a chapter in a book called From Failure, the Key to Success. And I was like, oh, that's why I'm having all these memories, because you were getting me from the universe. God was going to be prepared to write this book and say yes, because now I have remembered all of my failures.
Yep.
And I got to then, write about all of my successes too, which was pretty incredible. Just amazing experience. But that's what writing really does, is it allows us to process on a different level and really own our own lives and our own experiences. And so we can go out and publish it. So, let's dive in really quickly to a couple of the key points that you had to own in order to allow yourself to shine and even publish the book. What were some of the most challenging pieces for you, Barry, that you wouldn't have necessarily had to or even looked at if you hadn't become, or said, rather than become, because you already were who you are, but if you hadn't said yes to this calling and expression in life?
Well, basically, one thing I've learned over, say, being involved in this human development, personal growth sort of environment for many years, is that once you start growing, once anyone starts growing, it's kind of the door closes behind you. So for me, as I was getting to become more and more aware of what's happening in my life, it was harder to hide my own awareness from myself sort of thing. I couldn't play hide and seek with it. Even though I could try, it wouldn't succeed. So one of the biggest things was that I couldn't pretend that I didn't know something anymore. So I had to, it made me become responsible and accountable to my own way of being and to my own way of living. And so it was a wake-up call in a large part. And why do I do? I mean, my relationship history wasn't perfect by any means. That's probably what led me to the study of this and the passion for this. And it wasn't the worst either. I mean, I know some of my clients and some of my colleagues and friends went through much more dysfunction in their relationship history than I have. However, in my case, I chose to do some conscious work to really figure out what was going on, because the truth is that not everybody does. I mean, not everybody's a relationship expert or author or student of that. They just bounce into from one relationship to the next one without any conscious understanding of why it's not working. And I want to help them make better choices. That's what my passion is about.
So can you give us an example of something that you had to step into and shine light on in your personal life, so we can have a glimpse of who you are? I think we all understand that you're, you have a huge passion for helping people, that you're an author, that you've written this great book. But would you share with the audience just a little bit about Barry personally and maybe a piece of what you had to look into and own within yourself in order to write this book, in order to step into your own mission?
Sure. I grew up in England, that's where I'm from, hence the accent. Well, sounds like an accent anyway. And I was first born in the family that I was raised in. My parents were together until my mother passed away in 2012 for 59 years. So traditional family values, they were married in the 50s and they were together forever. That was kind of the vision. And as a teenager probably, and preteen as well, I was in this dynamic in the family, which was one of very stable, conservative, reserved values, because again, being English, stiff upper lip and stuff. So my perception was that my parents never had me cross words in front of the kids or ever argued. And that was my model I was raised with, thinking that was the way it's supposed to work. And I wasn't any good at it. So once I got out into the world and started dating, as a teenager and as an adult, I would be in relationship with somebody, with a woman, a girl or a woman, depending, from teens to adulthood. And for probably the first 10 years of this experience, it would be wonderful for the first few months, but after a few months, there would be something that would come up, be an argument, discord, crosswords, upset, something, from either side of the conversation in the couple. And when that happened, my mind told me that if this is happening, there must not be any loving, I need to leave. That was the logic that was running through me, and I would quit every relationship I went through when it got to that point of discord and upset, because according to what I was raised with, that shouldn't happen. And it was
okay.
That makes sense. Yeah, I mean that was the trap I fell into. Now, there's a whole bigger picture I can get into, and I talk about it in my work about how history does overlay our choices about relationship. But I was living that experience myself in a very, looking back, a simplistic way. But that was the way I believed it should be. And so, until my mid-20s, I didn't know that there was a better way. Or I should say, I didn't know there was an option of learning another way. And so that started me in my path when I did discover seminars and trainings and workshops, that I jumped into this whole new understanding beyond what we learned in school and in the world, into the study of human dynamics and how we as people develop, grow, and express functionally, dysfunctionally. And what led me to this work specifically was I went through three relationships in a row that I can attribute to this, a major, probably were more than that, but three that I remember specifically in the past years, where each one's relationships ended because my partner, and these are language I know now but didn't know at the time, was more in her masculine than I was. And the masculine feminine polarity is a piece that I'm very passionate about because I didn't know how dysfunctional I was about it going back 10, 15 years ago. And so that was a piece that was a pivot point for me, was to understand how in the world we live in, because of the way society is set up, particularly in the Western world, women are trained to compete with the men in the business world, whether it's executives or entrepreneurs, and what they do is live in the male mindset and then take it home with them and don't know how to disengage. And so my partnerships with relationships with women, we would literally be banging heads on an energetic level because we both were competing for the male spot in the relationship. And because I was in this heartfelt, spiritual, soft energy, if you want to call it that, I would always want to serve my woman, so I would actually let go of the masculine, let her have it, and I'll just learn to defend it. Now, this was all automatic without me having conscious understanding what I was doing, so it ruined my relationship three times in a row, because at the end of the time, my partner would look at me and she would go, where was the man, the male, tough guy that I wanted to be with? You're this soft guy that I can push around, which is what I was being done, was done to me, because I didn't know differently. And I knew I couldn't be in the macho, because the macho was the bully type that I knew around. I was around, and I could not do that either. I didn't know it was the third choice.
Ooh. See, now I love this, because I love the third choice, because that's where we go. Like, we can either be men, we can be men or women that are kind of pushovers and the doormats, or we have to be really feminine or really masculine, or, and masculinity meaning mean, and bullying and fierce and domineering. So I'd love to talk more when we get back from break about this masculine-feminine dynamic and this third piece. How does that feel?
Sounds like a good idea.
Awesome. All right. So we will be right back. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for being here. And we'll be right back.
Lucy McMonaco is a money manifester, coach, and public speaker, and it's her passion to educate others how to manifest more money. She is on a mission to inspire and empower you with her Wealthy Wednesday e-zine and radio show. Visit her website at lucimcmonagle.com for resources, tips, and your free gift. That's LucyMcMonagle.com.
I fell out of control. I hated the fact that when my husband would kiss me, my body would shudder. I'd feel so guilty and wanted to run away. I knew it wasn't my husband's fault or even my own. But the pain of my childhood abuse was still controlling my life. Until I found Antika and the Divine in 9 program. Now, I am free. The flashbacks are gone. They have vanished. My marriage is so much more fun, and I know the brighter side of life. I never thought I could feel this good about being me. If you are a woman like me who survived abuse and you're ready to stop fighting and start living, don't wait any longer. Register right now at www.divinein9.com.
Be you to the fullest. That's beautiful. And it is the secret to living your life on purpose. But so many people suffer not knowing who they are and what they are here for because of the ongoing influences shooting all over us. Are you ready to break free, take back your power, and discover exactly what makes you, you? Your Own University is the number one online self-awareness community, here to help you confidently know yourself and step into your ideal life. Our directory is full of highly qualified personal coaches that have helped over 100,000 women from all over the world transform their lives inside and out. Come fall in love with yourself and discover true fulfillment at yourownuniversity.com.
Hello and welcome back to Shine. This is Antika, your host, and I am here today with Barry, who is an amazing author. We are talking about in the area of love, and even more deeply, we're talking about the feminine and masculine and the dynamics of a relationship and how when we get off balance, our old habits and beliefs actually sabotage us in having the relationship that we really, really desire to have, and how we can take our power back and develop this beautiful light in our own lives. So welcome back to Shine, Barry. Thank you so much for sharing yourself in our first segment. And I would love to know, for those people that are listening, more about the masculine and feminine,
mm-hmm.
and are only men masculine and are only women feminine?
Uh-huh.
I know the answer.
Leading you with that question, yeah, I know you know the answer to that one. Let me draw some illustrations. Something that we as a culture went through between 30 and 50 years ago was relationships were 50-50. It was the thing about you have balance. And that was the idea about having a balanced spectrum. And I talk about this in my work and in my book as well, about the evolution of relationship from the codependent paradigm more to its interdependent, which we'll get to later on. But in the mm-hmm. context of masculine and feminine, the way I have learned, thankfully, over the last probably 8-9 years in my own studies that have been the thing I've done since the last breakup, because I've been single and self-focused on my own journey to understand who I am in the masculine and feminine polarity, is we as humans, male and female, are 100% unique as individuals. So we stand 100% as ourselves, and we're made up of a mix of, generally, masculine and feminine. So generalizing, most men are roughly, say, 70 to 80% masculine and 20 to 30% feminine by average. And women are usually the reciprocal of that. 70 to 80% feminine, 20% or 30% masculine. There are variations on the spectrum. So there are people who are androgynous who are 50-50 and probably have no sexual attraction or energy whatsoever. And there are individuals who are extreme 100% of either one. And those, frankly, are not the healthiest of individuals. It's like having both components is really, I think, required for healthy humanity and healthy individuality. So in attraction for a relationship, what we're almost attracted to unconsciously, because it's all automatic, is our reciprocal. So I'm probably somewhere around 70% masculine, 30% feminine. My ideal partner and would be in the reciprocal of being 70% feminine, 30% masculine. And that is the baseline, not the way we live all the time, because to add to that, in our daily lives, we move around that scale depending on what we need to do. If we pick up a baby, we'll be in our feminine energy automatically, whether it's a man or a woman holding the baby. If we're taking care of the bills or driving, we'll probably be in a feminine and a masculine because we're doing something directional. So it's more about what's needed energetically, but our natural residence is where our polarity and our attraction comes from in relationship. Is that a good starting point?
Wow. So how? Yeah. So how do we find out, where we are resonating individually, and how do we find out where our mate is resonating, so we can find out if that's even a problem, or something that we need to look at when we have a relationship? Is there?
Well, from my own experience, I went through three ultimately dysfunctional relationships because I end up being more of a feminine than my masculine, and because I've been trained that way. And so in my studies and the work I was doing as a spiritual counselor, I was in my feminine so much of the energy, but I looked like, according to these women, when they met me, a leader because I was out getting things done and leading the way. But in relationship, I would step into my natural, caring, compassionate side, which is a gift I have, but I was getting trapped in it, which is a feminine energy. But the truth was, I was out of alignment, and I felt at that time, because I didn't know differently, I knew something was missing, but I didn't know what it was. And now, as I'm very clear about who I am and having done this work for, say, 7-8 years, I've become very clear how to be grounded in my masculine but have feminine energy when I need it as a tool and as a resource to move into, but not when it comes to romance. And it's an educational process. It's not something you can switch on, switch off, and you don't go into an MRI or some device and get scanned and see which side you live on and which side you don't. It's really what happens when you strip away all of the pretense and all of the story and find out we naturally reside. And for most, generally speaking, most men are in the masculine side generally. Most women are generally in the feminine side. But we've been trained because of business, school, peers, family, whatever it is, to live perhaps differently than that. And say in the business world, particularly in the Western world, women have been trained because of the way society works that when they're in business, they need to compete with the men. And the way to compete with men is act like them. And back in the 60s, particularly when there was the feminist sexual revolution, women's movement, there was a pendulum swinging from one side to the other, where women had gone from the meek housewife to the emancipated role of being equal to men. Unfortunately, it wasn't clear that they were different from men. It was to make them the same as men. And that was the mistake that was made at that time, I believe. And this is just a exception from my point of view, that we have lost track of the natural beautiful difference between men and women in the natural masculine and the feminine. That's a whole other conversation that I'm actually leading into more in my work, it seems, to be as a mission to change the world.
Yeah, that's so huge. So from a woman's perspective, like, we get off work, we come home, we're very much in the masculine, or we continue to we're on, like, get things done. And I know for me, it increases my stress and my anxiety when I am at home that way, and I'm definitely not in the softer, receptive ways. I know that there's a big myth, though, around the feminine as being weak.
Oh,
and so a lot
yes.
of women don't want to be feminine, quote-unquote, because that means that they're going to be doormats or walked over. They have no control over their own life. Can you shine some light on that?
Oh, I'd love to. that's such a missed view. Not a mistake, but a missed view, because women have been come to believe, I won't say how they were trained or whatever, have come to believe is that the being female in the world, because again, the business world was trained as a male energy, which is the macho energy. Women were told through the media, through movies, TV, everything they've watched, that women are weaker than men. Now, physically, structurally, maybe so, but emotionally, no. Very different energies. And the feminine, well, to be blunt, the feminine is everything that moves. It's life itself, which is not exactly a small thing, and it's not weak. As one analogy I've heard over the years, we talk about in terms of the masculine and feminine polarity of the dance. If you imagine that, for example, that a mighty river flowing through the middle of the country is a feminine energy, the masculine energy is the banks of the river that help contain it to give it some structure. But the force of the river is so powerful it could break the banks. That's the feminine energy. And another analogy I've heard, and I like it a lot too, is we talk about the male energy, the masculine energy being very directional, very forceful, very powerful, which it is. So if you imagine, if you look at the biggest container ship on the ocean, the biggest one that's probably, you know, trickles a mile long, it takes 5 miles to turn, that's the masculine energy. And truthfully is we don't turn easily, we are very directional. And women say, well, what's the feminine energy? And say, you know, what's the feminine energy? Well, the feminine energy is not on other boats. The feminine energy is the ocean it sits on. Mm-hmm. And that reference point is how much bigger the feminine energy, because feminine energy is life itself. It is so powerful that it actually scares most women and most men because it is so powerful. When women are in the feminine, it's a grace-filled energy, but it's the power that can knock mountains down. So never consider it weak.
I love those analogies, and I've often explained it myself as, you know, the masculine inside of you is the banks of the river, and it's that structure that we need. It's the goal setting. It's the desires. And then the inside of it, those waves and the river itself is the feminine energy. Now, the piece that I haven't really thought about until this very second is that river cuts through the banks, and absolutely it can go wherever it wants to. It changes all the time. I was just hiking down in Seward, Alaska this weekend, and we were looking at how the water had just changed, you know, that the banks had changed, that the direction had changed over the last couple of years, and where it was different and where it wasn't different. So I love that, because it's like, oh, wow, that's extremely powerful. So in this dynamic of relationship itself, you know, there is an ebb and flow. Can you explain a balanced, healthy relationship? Can you just explain what it might feel like, what it might look like?
Yes. Well, let me give you a couple of pieces of the puzzle. If both partners are individuals working out in the world, whether it's corporate or entrepreneur or whatever they're doing, when they come home, the wise masculine man who gets home in time to welcome his wife or his partner home will see she's coming home wearing that shell, that shielding, that male mindset to get things done. And to help her relax, what he will do for her is when he welcomes her into the house, he will take her keys from her purse, her cell phone, her briefcase, walk her to the bathroom where he has a hot bath already run with soap suds, candles, and soft music, and says, honey, take half an hour, relax, become yourself. I'll be busy in the kitchen or something else doing something else. That gift will transform her heart, her energy, her physiology to relax back into a feminine. The other side of that, which can also work for a man, is what a man needs to decompress, to be back in his masculine, to let go of the macho maleness he has to do in the world. He needs quiet time, just to veg out, to be still. And it could be just sitting in front of the TV with a beer for half an hour, or something similar to that, where it could be meditation. It's whatever is supportive for him. What she can do for him is to give him that space. So when she comes home, or he comes home from work, give him the space just to chill. Now, you may have done it on the way home, but the option when he comes in the house is like, honey, you know, take your shoes off, put your feet up, relax for half an hour. I'll bring you a beer, listen, we'll talk when you're ready. Those two things for male and female, masculine and feminine, can be very restorative for both energies. Another piece of that, in the bedroom, something I've learned from some of my teachers I love who are actually up in Vancouver, I love their work, and what they talked about was when a man and a woman are, especially if they've been in a relationship for a while, and they're finding their sexual energy is diminished somewhat, their attraction's not quite as strong, if they can do a ritual that's very simple but so potent to restore the polarity, because the masculine-feminine polarity, that relationship chemistry is like magnets. And so North and South Pole magnets are very attracted to each other, and that's what the polarity of masculine-feminine is. And it's not gender-based, so there are relationships where the woman is more in a masculine naturally and the man is more in his feminine naturally, and they balance that and it works. There are also gay relationships like that too, because generally speaking, any relationship, male or gay or straight, has a masculine partner and a feminine partner at any particular point in time. Again, it can switch back and forward. In the bedroom, one of the things that can help the sexual chemistry, the connection, the joy of that connection, that passion, can be for the man and woman to be in front of each other before they jump into the act, as it were. And what they can do is symbolically is the man standing in front of the woman can take all his feminine energy from the day, symbolically, just as imagine he's picking up all the energetics around him, almost like doing Reiki or something like that with the moving hands to pick it up, into a ball of energy. And he says to the woman, his partner, I give you my feminine energy for safekeeping. And then she does the same thing, gathering all her masculine energy she's been carrying through the day into a little ball, gives it to her partner and says to him, I give you my masculine energy for safekeeping. It's an honoring and a ritualistic thing. What it does is it's almost saying, let me relax fully into my natural state. And that immediately turns on the energetic of attraction and polar chemistry. And that's what really adds and restores it to a sexual attraction that can really be wonderful in the bedroom.
I'm just trying to feel into that. I'm like, huh. Because I think what we normally give is the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
The man kind of gives the masculinity, which, again, isn't this rough and tough, overbearing, fearful. Especially in my community,
right.
I guess there's a lot of fear around the masculine. And so will you explain now that we have this feeling for it, what the masculine is, now that we understand more of what the feminine is and how powerful that can be?
Right. And also, by the way, I think what you're maybe speaking to is also the difference between the macho and the masculine. You have very different energies that men have. And the macho is, in a simple way, again, it's in my, I'm talking about it in my book, that the macho is to be blunt. Well, let me just put this in broad strokes. I talk about this, and again, since I've studied, three levels of evolution for relationships. The first generational level, which is what our parents generally had and grandparents, was the macho man and the meek wife, housewife type person. And the macho man was basically, a big cajon is getting things done my way, the highway, I'm the breadwinner, I bring things home, you're at home, take care of the kids. And that was the demonstrative energy that was there. And that's what parents are raised with. It was basically also a very codependent role because neither one of the partners could live without the other. They would die without them. And that's what we were taught as models by our parents.
Mm-hmm.
Then, as I mentioned before, there was the sexual revolution of the 60s or thereabouts, which was the feminist movement that really gave women the right to step up and compete with the men. And what ended up happening was women took their independence, but they did it through the presentation of being like men in the world. So even though they didn't have big balls, they would actually act that way, you know, with their own way of being, their bullishness. And so women had their own bank accounts, because basically, really, before that point, women didn't have their own bank accounts even. So they had their own bank accounts, their own independence, their own apartments, their own possessions. It gave them that freedom which they needed. But it was really an independent thing. And to be honest, relationship was kind of negotiated. It was kind of, you know, called back and forward, like, you know, my place, your place, let's do it, have fun. But it wasn't anywhere as deep as it could be, but it was a new way of being. It was an evolution from the previous stage. Stage three, where we're moving into now, more fully, thank God, is what I call the masculine and feminine, which we're talking about. And it's really where men have stepped up from always driven in the first stage to being the independent, moving back to the women in the second stage, where they're the feminist movement. Women got strong in the business world. Men started doing more feminine things, growing their hair long, wearing bell bottoms, flowery shirts, smoking pot. That was kind of the model. It wasn't everybody, but the generic standard at the time was men would get more soft. And they were like, you know, chill out, peace, man. They weren't doing the things that were getting things done. So there was this mix of the macho and the macho of the weak at the same time, which is what I was growing up with. Now, moving into the third generation, men and women have owned into what is their natural element of strength, which is feminine and masculine. The man in his true calling as a masculine male is purpose-driven. And this is the piece that I've been developing and working on myself for the last 7-8 years, is really, it's the way that one of my teachers talks about it, it's like having a strong spine and open heart. It's not driven by the macho trying to prove himself. It's a service and a commitment to make a difference and a legacy in the world, driven with compassion and direction so there's a result that is positive and impactful, so it makes a difference on the planet. That's a man's desire to have a legacy, because a man's legacy is his true desire. And as one of my teachers, David Adepo, talks about, a man's purpose must come before his relationship for it to be healthy. And that's something I didn't know, which is why I messed up my relationships before this. For the woman, in a feminine, her energy is to basically to embrace, to serve, to be of a gift to the world in her loving inner heart. The thing that the feminine has an advantage of, because men are very powerful as unidirectional, getting things done, target-focused, let's get results. The feminine is embracing everything. It's a ability to see what's going on around the world and have compassion and collaboration. The way I use it in language in my work is the masculine is about, in a way, competitive, but it's about getting things done, results. The feminine is about collaboration and cooperation, about how do we work together, how do we have everything succeed for everybody's benefits. And this, after the independent stage and after the codependent stage, is the interdependent relationship, because we each have unique gifts that we bring to the relationship with each other. And as a result, the relationship is even better than the individual part. It's like 200% relationship than 100% each individual is bringing. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Good.
And makes me go, I don't know, I'm feeling very peaceful in the whole thing. It's just, that's pretty much all I can go at right now. I'm just feeling very peaceful. Not necessarily checked in, just kind of like, which is interesting. I'm not doing anything else but listening, and I'm very enwrapped. So we're going to take our next break, and then you have your book, which shares 50 tips, which I've been reading about, and some of them are really, well, I've read a lot about this, and I am in the industry, but you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And some were like, whoa, kind of mind-blowing, especially number 9. And, of course, I don't have my book in here with me. but I remember number 9 got me.
I would
love to hear more about, I think like 32, maybe it was. There were some up in the 30s, too, that I was like, oh, that's interesting. That makes a lot of sense, too. And so I would like to just talk a little bit and share a little bit about that as we go into our last segment and, you know, the best type of person to get your book and then also how you coach and how you work with people one-on-one as well. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
All right. So, everybody, we will be right back. Hope you are feeling your masculine and letting go of your macho and feeling your feminine and letting go of your weak. And back to you in a second.
The It's Your Turn radio show with Denise Dominguez is on every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern. Join Denise Dominguez, an empowerment and relationship coach, as she invites experts on for interviews and how they help women with their knowledge and expertise to break through that stuck space you're in. You'll learn tools and techniques to move forward in life with confidence and clarity that Denise will share with you. Listen every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern by going to blogtalkradio.com/youronuniversityradio.com.
The It's Your Turn Radio Show with Denise Dominguez.
From the best-selling author of From Bondage to Happiness, Antika Lisha will personally walk you through her new program featuring her radical forgiveness Freedom Formula. This is for you if you are ready to once and for all be released from the chains of past abuse and take your power back. Radical Forgiveness is a 5-week step-by-step system to release the chains of a traumatic past trapping in fear, reactivity, and stress, and gently free you, allowing you to take your power back and claim your beautiful life. Get instant access to your first video and a free 60-minute discovery session with Antika herself, a $250 value, at antikalibby.com/radicalforgiveness.
Woohoo! And I couldn't find anything there for a second. So I hope that you are enjoying this show and that you will join Lucy on Wednesday for Wealthy Wednesdays and Denise on Thursday for It's Your Turn, all here on Your Own University Radio Blog Talk. And we also have our podcast available. If you go to YouTube or iTunes, you can type us in there and subscribe and get the podcast of all of our shows. Just type in Your Own University. And I'm here today with Barry Shelby, You can find out more about him at BarrySelvy.com. And, of course, that link is also here on our Blog Talk station. So, Barry, thank you so much. I mean, so much information I think we've covered. I'm going to have to listen again just to feel into it and step out of our own way. So you work with people in a dynamic ways. You've put together these 50 tips. Will you share with us a little bit more about your book? We kicked off
sure.
the show that way.
Yes. The book is really a distillation of what I believe about relationships and the things that I've learned as truth. And a lot of them are open-ended because, relationship is a comprehensive and a, Encyclopedia Britannica, for those who know what that is, amount of information that can be condensed down into one book would be insane. So what my book is 50 principles that will start you thinking and pondering, hopefully evolving in your relationships, because there's so much more to talk about than what's in the book. So the 50 principles mm-hmm. are great starting points, and some of them are deep transformational experiences. Some of them are very light and silly. So there's a range of the spectrum as well.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Yes.
So what are a couple of your favorite ones? And you can talk about number 9 and 32. If you have them memorized. If you have them memorized.
No, I pulled the book out during the break, so I have it.
Oh, did you?
Because I'm pretty good and I do write the book, but I haven't memorized all 50, unfortunately. I have a few memorized. But number 9, it says here, is love is the best lubricant ever created. It smooths the rough spots, facilitates deeper connection, and that's just the start.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so I obviously was, But it's true. when I think about that, that is true. And I'm blushing here behind the mic. But, when you are deeply in love, like everything else in the bedroom goes a lot differently. Just it changes everything when it comes to enjoyment in bed. Yeah, for sure.
And also, yes, but I didn't mean it literally that way. Love is the best lubricant in all areas of life.
In all areas of life, yes. And you say, you explain that. You explain that there. But I remember thinking that originally. I was like, you know what love is? Like, it's amazing that way.
Yes.
It is
the most powerful energy on the planet.
Yeah. And what is more?
Mm-hmm. So you wanted more on that theme, that topic?
Or just what are your favorites? What were the ones that were like, oh, yeah. Do you really share two more? Let's share two more.
Okay. Well, one of them is actually what we did sort of cover earlier, which you said number 32. I talk about learning the difference between codependence and interdependence. Because I'm very passionate that this is one of my core values, is being authentic. And authentic connection is something that is so transformational and such a gift that it is interdependent, because independence is kind of like, I don't need you, I can do everything myself, and we're fine. Interdependence is, I don't need you, but I want you. And that's a different energy. Mm-hmm. So it's attraction from a choice, not attraction from a have to. So it's not an addiction energy, which is what codependence is really based on, is an addiction. Interdependence mm-hmm. is this desire to connect, to be one with, to have a great experience and expression, and open up to greater possibilities with. And so I love interdependence, and I talk about that in chapter 32, and we do cover some of those things. Some of my simpler and sillier chapters, the next one, 33, I love, is simple, is this: telepathy rarely works. Open and honest spoken communication with love always works. Because as I've seen with my clients, I see my past relationships, I see with lots of people I know, we tend to make assumptions that the other person is telepathic, and we wonder why they don't help us or get us or work with us the way we think they should. Being willing to say sometimes the obvious, like, I need help with, or I'm not sure of, or I feel this way, to do that from a loving place is hugely enabling for the relationship. So it's important to realize that, we're not that advanced as an individual people to be telepathic, at least not to the level we could listen to the other person's thoughts. We can be intuitive. But again, don't make assumptions. It's about being willing to say what you need and ask what you want, and also to listen to your partner who has needs as well.
Mm-hmm. And that takes a lot of strength and a lot of vulnerability. And I find that sometimes it is easier to do with strangers than it is with that person that is right there in front of
Interesting
you.
Interesting how that works. Yeah.
Yeah, because you want to impress them or you want to please them. You want to be there for them. You know, and
you
so
want to be perfect.
How you want to be perfect, right?
Right.
And so, you know, number 33 is huge. Yeah. And let's do one more.
One more, okay.
You can flop and
pick a number between 1 and 4, 1 and 50.
Well, 44 came to mind. 44 came to mind. So we'll do 44.
44. 44. Scan through. 44. As we were thinking about, connect and express your authentic nature, whether masculine or feminine. It will deepen your polarity and your passion. We did cover that, but that's the thing, is it is about recognition about this authentic, natural beingness, because that's where we get attraction. The challenge, as you mentioned previously, you know, we're tempted to try and impress our partner by being perfect and know we know everything. And the truth is, what makes us more attractive is to be real, to be authentic, and to shine that light into our partnership. Again, being authentic is where our light shines brightest. It's that connection that makes things work. So drop the walls and the shells and the pretense of trying to be perfect, because truthfully, perfection is in the inauthentic, is the imperfection of who we are. That natural beingness is where we thrive and where we make a difference. And that authentic nature is what we need in relationships, including in the world, frankly. There's so much inauthenticity in, well, everywhere in the world, in politics, in business, in the media. It's time we were authentic everywhere. So I'm very passionate about that part of the conversation.
Yeah. One thing that you just said that I just want to reiterate for everybody is, to embrace your own authentic nature. So you might be female and you might be heterosexual and female and more masculine in nature. And that might be your natural state. And, or you might be masculine and heterosexual and that might be, you know, you might be, have a more feminine nature. So it's really this expression of studying ourselves and the masculine and feminine, and seeing where we are on that spectrum that you were talking about at the beginning of the show. And, yeah, teaching our significant other to do the same, I guess. If possible.
Oh, yeah. And not so much teaching as much as encouraging and inviting, because that's the thing. It's not about making somebody else different, because then you become their coach, and that's not what you're supposed to do. I get to coach my clients. I don't get to coach my partner when I'm in a relationship. That's not fair.
Right.
And that's the thing, is learning that difference. And that's why I love coaching single people, particularly single women, because that's my ideal client base. Because, one, I get to serve them and empower the feminine, which I'm so passionate about. And secondly, I get to work with women who then can attract amazing men, and that brings more men into the picture in a good way. So I'm sort of have a, it's a multi-step process.
Very nice. Very nice. So how do we get your book?
The best way to get my book.
Visit your website, or is the website the best way?
If they go to my website, there's a page there for the book, which has the physical book available, or the ebook version, and there's a link there to get the Kindle version on Amazon. And you can also go to Amazon.com and look it up there. 50 Ways to Love Your Lover by Barry Searle, but you'll find it on Amazon too in physical book. And essentially, to be honest, I must admit, it's like $2 cheaper on Amazon. So you might want to get it there just to save us some money. And the Kindle version's there because I can't sell it on my site. But if you want the ebook for your iPad, iPhone, computer, you can get that on my site as well. So either go to 50waystoloveyourlover.com, the number 50, waystoloveyourlover.com for the book, or just go to my site, barryselby.com, and click on the book menu bar choice.
Okay. So Barry, BarrySelby, everybody. And then Barry, you're also a coach, right? So you
I am
coach,
a passionate coach
single
yes.
women. Yeah. So you, And at what place, at what stage would somebody, or not would, but do your clients hire you?
They basically hire me when they are, their lives are going pretty well, and the one area it's not is relationships, and they're sick and tired of losing out in love. And frankly, they're pretty wounded, most of, not in a way that's obvious, but most of my clients are women who have been successful in life. They're doing well in business. Their home life is good. That they're home alone because they've not had a healthy relationship, and they may have had some bad ones in the past, and the heart is wounded, and they want to get some trusted support from a safe place that will help them heal, grow and own who they are, because most of my clients are amazing women who just don't own it as well as they can. So part of my work is really to empower their magnificence. So conscious, yes, I do bring spirituality in a subtle way, not like a blatant thing. You have to be conscious, you know, meditating and everything else, but I do bring spirituality in my work because I've got a spiritual background. So it's women who are open to growing and learning. So it's not women who want it to be fixed, because I'm not a fixing person. I'm an encouraging, empowering, and inspiring person as a coach.
Nice. And I love how you put that. Not women that are seeking to be fixed. And everybody that is listening to this show, I really hope that everybody really gets, I mean, that's your own university in a nutshell, is you're not broken. There is nothing to be fixed. There's just pieces to be integrated and things to let go. And you're already whole. Like underneath it all, whatever it all is this wholeness, this completeness that we all get to be. And when you look into who you are, everybody, individually, and you discover, well, am I more masculine? Am I more feminine? Am I this? Am I that? What do I desire? What do I want? You're going to really attract that person that will hold the space for you to be all that you are, and an equivalent, a person that is full within themselves as well. Because I believe in the mirror. I know you talk a little bit about that, but we really attract who we are, not who we want. I think our radio show host, Denise Dominguez, said that once, and I'm like, yeah, that sure it is. There it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So everybody, I highly, highly, highly recommend Barry's book and working with him. If you would love to get to know him, I'm sure there's tons of more information at barryshelby.com. His book is absolutely magnificent. It's an easy read. It took me like 3 nights, just a couple hours a night. It's a fun, easy, very much so get you thinking, and is, you'll love it. In a relationship, out of a relationship, I think anybody and everybody can really benefit from reading it, because it's going to get your juices flowing and help you think and help you just discover more of who you are, so you can shine. So Barry, thank you so much for giving us all this wisdom, sharing so much of your heart today, and showing up to write your book and step into that.
Absolutely, my pleasure, my gift, and my service.
Awesome. So everybody, I just want to thank you for showing up on Shine. Remember, next week we're going to be having a replay here. It is beautiful, beautiful here in Alaska, and I'm going to be out for a week. And then we're going to really feel into how Shine is going to continue forward as my life and mission shifts just a bit. I mean, not much. Still work with the same people. I do have the 4 steps to getting your childhood abuse, your past, out of your way so you can thrive, where I share what I've learned over the last 20 years, the mainstays that get in our way, that block us, that stop us from really being able to express ourselves, find success, that keep us stuck in struggle, scattered, and not really knowing how to take our power back. And I'm going to be giving you those pieces. You can get step 1 and 2 immediately at antiquaLibby.com, antiquaLibby.com. And in the middle of the page, if you scroll down, you can go to that 4 steps website, or you can just go antiquaLibby.com/worthy-rockin'. Worthy-rockin'. And it is right there. And I would love to see you over there, see you a part of that community. We're having our next live call on Wednesday. And, this is your life. This is your life to live. This is your life to step into. You are here to shine. You are here to be a light in the world. And that means really owning your own power, turning on your own light, and choosing how you live to just illuminate everything and everybody around you. And so I hope that you were inspired by today's message, how Barry has stepped out into the world, how he has gotten his book out into the world, how he is helping women and here to serve. And from me as well. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.